Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello everyone and welcome to Slamify Radio episode 113, June 16th. I'm Owen Swelling.
I'm Matthew.
I am, who am I this week?
You're Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
And also joining us, we are at the For Latte Residence
compound.
And we have a bunch of people around the table. Podcasters and non.
So you'll tell the audio quality is a little lower this week, and yes. That's basically
Matthew's
Trevor's
fault.
Owens. So me
slow.
Ah.
So yeah, let's go around the table and who are you and all that stuff
real quick.
I'm Sticks.
Hey Sticks.
What's up?
Nice to see you. Nice to see you in person.
Welcome exactly. To Canada.
Hey.
Got his Canada hat on and everything.
Yes.
You guys all know
I'm wearing this hat in honor of a couple brothers who couldn't be here, George Hatch and Jay Hines.
So. Yeah, they're only in Canada, right? But you came from Tennessee. So
somebody's got to represent.
Hi, I'm John.
Hi, John.
John.
From Kellyanne Quebec Radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
When are we going to get an episode?
We need to talk to the main host directly to my right.
All right. So next we have?
My name is Jazz.
Hey, Jazz.
From Kellyanne Quebec Radio. Again, we're going to have a show out soon, very soon, a lot of preparation to do, so.
So this is your podcasting debut as a podcasting pair. This is the first time
couple,
you guys have
couple.
A podcasting This is your coming out party, if you will.
We're not in Toronto.
That's Pride Week. This is the first time they've recorded a podcast together.
So yeah, it's going to be in French and part of it in English, too, because there's a lot of people who...
Toby.
No, but there's people in Canada that they want to know what's happening in Quebec.
Yes.
And they speak English, so...
Yeah. So you're going to have like a French section and an English
section?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I'll
nice.
Listen. I like it. Very nice.
Cool.
It'll be a hybrid kind of thing.
I yes. like it.
You mean like the street signs around here?
Next.
Hey, I'm Edith.
Hi, Edith.
Hi.
Sticks is better half.
Yep, definitely. Nice to be here.
You want that's see debatable.
You want to see the bruises on this guy.
Yeah.
She beats him twice a week, whether he needs it or not.
Twice a week, twice a day.
Excellent. And then?
I'm Tracy Wilson. I'm from Ottawa. I'm here representing the NFA at Trevor's charity shoot.
It's not my... No.
Because if
it goes wrong, it always is.
Then it's Owens.
Okay. It's always charity shoot.
I see why you told her now.
I'm hoping to give you a little brief update on how things are going, where things stand, and where we're going in the future.
Excellent. Wonderful. And then we have...
Gentlemen.
And ladies. 10X here, introducing some culture to the show, or at least more than is in Trevor's fridge in the yogurt.
Oh, lovely. That's fantastic. Guys, put the phones away.
There's a picture of Filthy in my wife's bathtub.
Yes, there is. That's disturbing. Okay.
All right, so I mean, we're going to skip what we did with guns, right?
No.
No.
No?
Oh. No.
Because unlike you, we did stuff.
I did stuff.
Oh, okay.
I forget what I did, but I did stuff.
Hampton.
Oh, yeah, there was the Hampton thing. So do you want me to go first, Owen?
Yes, please do. Since you sit to my right, you go
I'm
first.
Sitting. Okay, so I did. We went to Hampton. Trevor and I shot the SNB 250. It's a level 3 IPSC match. I placed 4th, and as it turned out when I looked through the scores, I placed 4th, 1/10 of a percent away from 3rd place.
1/10?
1.3 points difference.
Of a percent.
So if I had pulled off one more Charlie instead of a Delta, I would have caught in 3rd. And I know right where I should have plugged it too. I was like, no, I don't need a follow-up shot there. I know I got it. And I did. I got it. But it was a Delta. Had I hit it one more time, I'm sure it would have been a Charlie and I would have been walking home with a plaque instead of a medal. And Peter's doing his little violin thing there, but I don't care about Peter very much. So I'm not going to let it hurt me. So anyway, the Ipswich match was a lot of fun. Kudos to Ken and Austin for putting on yet again another fantastic match. I found some CCI mini mags, and those are rare, I believe would be a good word to describe their...
According to some people,
they're hard to find. So I did find some. The local Canadian Tire had some, so I bought them right away. I'm like, oh my goodness, CCI mini mags! I never shot these before. They're gonna be awesome.
And
I don't know what the hype is all about. The cheap 5.55 bulk pack Winchester ammo that I shoots tighter groups than the mini mags, and I just don't know.
Through what gun?
Through the Buckmark and through my 5 or 7.95. So I don't know what all the hype is about. I guess my guns just don't like mini mags. I guess the issue with them is they are good quality. They look really good. They're put together nicely. They go bang every time. Like you don't get duds with them, which is a good thing. But I thought they'd be more accurate, but they weren't. So I probably should shoot them through the pistol because not very accurate with that thing anyway. So I dug the Buckmark out of storage, the Browning Buckmark. I forgot I had that. for a while. I forget if I was talking like to you. Owen or to Trevor.
That was me.
It was Owen. I was like, oh yeah, I've got another rifle.
I forgot you had it too. I assumed it was gone by now.
No, it was just sitting in the box. So I dug it out of storage and I'm going to put it right back again. It's still no better.
It still doesn't fit.
It's just not accurate as my $180 Marlin cheap Plinkster gun. It's just...
When you grow up, Matt, maybe then it'll fit you.
It fits me just fine. In fact, I love the way it holds. Like, the way it handles, the balance of it is great. I like the look of it. I like the ergonomics of it. The manual of arms kind of sketchy because you can't hit the mag release with your thumb the way you'd think you'd be able to. But I like it. It's not as accurate as I want it to be. So why would I shoot an inaccurate rifle? So go ahead.
What?
Somebody's cracking a beer. Yeah. Didn't want it to go. Too late. It's on audio now. And then I bought
the chair.
It's the chair.
No, oh, but okay. I tighten these chairs.
Okay.
That's how I used to do in high school gym class.
Yeah. So in getting ready for the charity event this weekend, I had to go buy some trap ammo because I heard that there was not going to be any ammo on hand. So I went and bought some Challenger target loads. Challenger boxes, they're
to potato.
Ammo. It's a potato. Like how many targets do you shoot in trap?
25.
25.
How many targets do you shoot in skeet?
25.
How many targets do you shoot in sporting clays?
Who cares?
Doesn't matter. You're right. How many rounds of ammo do you think they put in a box, a Challenger?
25.
You'd think that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
It's 24.
It's 20. They put in 20. Why would you put 20 rounds in a shotgun
box?
Where's
it made? You have to buy two boxes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I bought a whole case of them. It's marketing genius. They must buy. Oh, terrible. Anyway, so that was my little break.
It's kind of like giving out as a prize a gift certificate for $25.
That's right.
But everything at the store costs $30.
That's right. So anyway, that's pretty much all I did with guns until I came over here. We went to the range today, shot the Uzi. I know it's not an Uzi, the BRS-99, and the Garand. Trevor's been having some fun with the Garand. I'll let him talk about that. And it was a good day at the range today, so I'll let Trevor carry on from where I'm leaving off.
So like you, the Southern New Brunswick 250, I finished second, but was 4% out of first.
4%.
So that's pretty big. Mo, go figure. Mo
Bonas. You got within 4% of Mo. That's good.
Yeah.
Mo's a good shooter.
He is. And I wish the bugger would stay in production where he belongs.
No, I'm happy with him in standard. Trust me.
I bet you are. Oh, guess what? You're getting Mo back, but you're losing Lorette. I get Lorette now.
Oh, you're not going to win.
Thank
you. Oh, and there's the door.
Somebody's at the door.
Wow, that's a fantastic doorbell.
Yeah. I apologize. Yeah, I couldn't get the General Lee horn. So that was, right after we recorded last week. And then just trips to the range and...
it's Thomas Donnelly! And
hey, Stacy! Come on in, guys, we're recording.
Not editing, though. Go around the other way.
What else? The Grant. I tried all week to reload ammo for the Grand, just because I had the powder.
Don't worry about the noise.
It wouldn't work at all. And anyway, we got it working today with Factory Ammo.
Yeah, so Factory Ammo makes a we're going to do introductions, I guess. So hi, Thomas.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Matt.
How are you?
Okay.
Good. Nice for you to join us. We're in the middle of a show, so we're not editing, though, so this is in.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you know how I edit. I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So.
So yeah, no, you were talking about your grain.
Yeah, so that, and that's it. Yeah, we got it.
Factory Ammo makes it work fine.
With the grain gear plug.
With the grain gear plug, yep.
Yeah, so we're good. So. We went to the range a while ago. I did not get shoot the Uzi.
It was there?
Yeah, I didn't bring any ammo. Tomorrow.
I had ammo.
I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
It shoots very nice.
It does.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Yeah. And what else? We did a little bit of, we got Edith going on the Ruger. Oh, I got to try a PPQ.
The Walther PPQ.
Yeah, shooting
who,
one.
Who owns that?
That's John.
John, right?
Yeah. Shooting.
Yeah, I knew that, but the listeners didn't.
All right. I got to shoot John's Walther PPQ. And I got to say, after shooting it, I don't want it any less.
You like it?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the funky mag release.
I don't want to talk about that. No. I won't get that version. But it does have the finest striker-fired trigger that I've shot to date.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid short reset, light, crisp. It's excellent. It beats the P320. It really does. Nice. Now, I haven't tried the HK VP9 yet, but so far, the no question. Best trigger.
Good to know.
Yeah. All right.
So, Owen, what do you do?
All I did this week was took out my Marlin, 795.
Yep.
And figured since I'm going to be shooting Silhouette tomorrow, I should actually maybe sight it in.
Yeah, sighting in your rifle
so
that you're going to use
pointing at.
Yeah, in competition, that's good.
Because
yeah.
I knew just from some of the stuff, us walking around, shooting stuff in the woods, that it was shooting a little bit to the right, so.
So you did get it, you got it lined in?
I got it all lined in. yeah, the little pointy thing on the front of the barrel is lined up with the little notchy things in the back of the barrel, and the bullet goes where it's supposed to go.
Perfect.
You sighted in your firearm.
He lined it in.
No, I lined it in.
Only in Woodstock do they line it in. Line in a rifle. I understand what they mean.
So, yeah, that was it. And then I did a little bit of practicing just offhand because I don't shoot offhand very often. So.
And it went all right?
Yeah, 2.5 inches or something like that. Offhand at 20 meters, I think, is what the...
They're at 18.
18.
So, yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah. So, for me, that was pretty good shooting.
Good. Great. All right, well.
Yeah, upcoming events. We have our usual list. We'll run through the para course with Tommy on July 3rd. So that's
next week, and it's sold out.
And it's sold out.
So. Oh, well, then next.
Next. So if you missed out on that, think about next year. Carbine Vitals 2 Clinic, which is September 4th and 5th. There's still spaces available. I don't know exactly how many, but email us, Slamfire Radio. To sign up, and we'll tell you how to go about doing that, because we do it directly with
Daniel Shaw.
Yeah, Thunderbird Tactical. SummerSlam registration is open, and that's August 8th and 9th, and that's on the Restigouche Gun Club website. And no t-shirts order, so that's all closed, so we don't have to talk about that.
Well, send money.
Yeah, if you haven't sent money, send money.
If you haven't sent money, yeah, send money.
Yeah. And then, otherwise, we're just going to give your t-shirt to someone else.
I will give your t-shirt to someone else. Yeah, absolutely.
Someone who deserves it, who sent their money.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I guess we'll move into the news then.
Yes, so...
Are we going to an update?
Yeah, start with the NFA update.
Okay.
What do you got?
So this is what I've got. I had a little conversation with Adam Nisley. He's the lawyer representing the 5 directors for the NFA. And we have some good news, as you've all seen, probably plastered all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, everything else. We've got the website going, www.fixthenfa.com. So we were successful in getting our 5% of the membership. So that's good news. So a special members meeting is mandated. It's absolutely necessary. It's going through. There's no stopping it. And so we're going to progress with the items that were listed on the website under the Fix the NFA.
My fingers are crossed. I remain skeptical. I mean...
We'll welcome you back with open arms, so don't worry about it. That's fine.
So, okay, what is the ultimate purpose of the Fix the NFA, this meeting? What do we hope to gain? Is this another attempt to get Sheldon to step down?
No, Sheldon's... We're not asking to remove Sheldon as a director.
I am.
Well, yes. Eventually that'll come, right?
Okay.
But Right now, we're going to remove Gerald Lundgren and Bill Rance as directors.
Okay.
And we're going to call a vote, so the membership will have a say of who becomes their next directors. So let's just move ahead with elections.
So we needed 5% of the NFA membership to sign this petition.
No, it's a resolution.
Resolution. So now
to call the special members meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what can you tell us about the rumor or story or whatever about Sheldon firing some directors recently, a couple of weeks back? What happened there?
Yes, he announced that decision. However, it's not within his power. So,
well, none of what he does usually is, but
that's right.
Was it another unilateral, I've just decided to fire you, you, and you?
That's exactly right. And he just appointed who he wanted to appoint without any vote from the membership. So, you know, it's not legal, it's not binding, it doesn't stand. So if he wants to write it on Facebook and it makes him feel better, you know, well, that's okay.
So Erica is not gone?
No.
Okay.
Erica, Darlene, Claude, they're still directors. Business as usual, carry on. There are the ongoing lawsuits in the background. They're all going through. They're happening. Sean Bevins has his own action against them, against Sheldon as well. You know, so he's going to be a really busy lad over the summer. So.
And then, so, yeah, Sean's lawsuits were, you know, completely tied into separate. his dismissal. Now, the other lawsuits are the directors took legal action against him after they had a meeting where, you know, he tried to cancel the meeting. He can't cancel the meeting. They went ahead and they voted him out. That's what one of the lawsuits is?
Yes. Yes. Among other, you know, he's, as a member on the board of directors, you should have certain access to, like, the membership database, especially for your home province, things like that. And he's basically cut off all... all contact for those directors with their membership as well. He shut down their NFA email addresses, you know, so he's just...
So if I send an email to Erica through her NFA...
It'll go to Ginger.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Ginger, for those that don't know, is the office manager.
That's right.
Okay.
So, great. You know, it's a little bit messy, but the big news is that we did get our 5% of the membership to call the special meeting, and that was a huge, big step. So we're going forward with that, along with the lawsuits.
Awesome.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next item of news this week, there was some more...
Shenanigans?
RCMP shenanigans with the Mossberg...
You're going to get a kick out of this.
...Blaze 47. So that's just, it's a Mossberg. I'm not really familiar with the rifle, but
the Mossberg Blaze is just another, it's a competitor to the 10/22, the 7.95, the Marlin, or the Remington 5.97. And like the 10/22, it comes in a whole pile of different varieties. They decided to...
Not variants, varieties.
Varieties, that's right. In other words, it has different colored stocks and different kinds of stocks. Different. You can buy it with a red dot, or you can buy it with iron sights, what have you. It's a semi-automatic 22 rifle, no different than a 10/22. They decided that they were going to release one wrapped in a clamshell plastic molded chassis that looks like an AK-47. It absolutely shares zero parts with the AK-47. It's wrapped in molded plastic to look like an AK. Prohibited. So you can buy this rifle on one end of the spectrum, completely non-restricted, trunk gun, hunt anytime, anywhere kind of thing. But as soon as you wrap it in plastic that looks like an AK, prohibited.
So, yeah, that's ridiculous, and I'm hoping that decision gets reversed, because that's just... Well, they've done this before. Remember the GSG MP5?
Yep.
They did the same thing. No parts interchange with the MP5, the actual one, but it looks just like it, so it's got to be one of those, so let's ban it.
It's like saying you can have a Dodge Caravan, but you can't have a Plymouth Voyager.
That's it really is what it's saying.
That's what it is.
Yeah. The Plymouth Voyagers are so much more dangerous.
Yeah, Pontiac Sunfire, get that. But don't get the Chevrolet Cavalier, whatever you do.
Nuh-uh.
Especially the black ones.
Right.
They're more dangerous.
They are, and scary.
Peace craziness.
Also, last piece of news, the government was ordered to hand over the registry data to Quebec by I forget what court it was.
So it was a federal court.
It was federal. Yeah.
But
it was a lower court than the Supreme Court, was it not?
No, I thought the Supreme Court of Canada told Quebec no.
Yes.
So I don't know which court this is, suddenly said yes. When the Supreme Court of Canada says no, I thought
that, I thought Supreme meant
top of the
top.
Yeah.
The
Supreme. Yeah. When I get a Taco Supreme, they don't get any bigger. No, they don't make it. Say, we're done. Right, no, no, yeah. Oh, the Supreme Supreme.
Oh, that's the one.
I didn't see it on the menu.
Right.
Dinks.
Double secret Supreme.
So,
yeah.
But here's my thing. I'm wondering why that data still exists.
It should have been destroyed a long time ago.
Years ago. I mean, what, 2012?
Yeah, something like that.
April 6, 2012. Yeah. And, okay, so Quebec started saying, no, don't destroy our portion. So after
it is just the Quebec portion being handed to them.
But it should be gone, too, after the last
ruling. It should be. But, yeah, as soon as the Supreme Court said nay, then it should have been delete, gone. Yeah.
Of course, there's a whole pile of speculation that none of it's been deleted. And High River, Alberta, yeah, is kind of proof of that. But I'm on the fence about that. You know, you can run any address and find out if the person who lives there has a gun license. You don't need a registry to find out, okay, she has a gun license. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah. Chances are there are guns there.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't have a gun license? Let's not kick in that door. So the argument for High River proving the data still exists doesn't hold a lot of water with me, but...
Yeah.
So...
And there's the DVDs that were given out under the Freedom of Information Act.
About High River?
No, redacted copies of the whole gun registry itself, Trevor. Oh. You could throw in particular postal codes, and it would let you know which firearms were registered in that area.
I remember that.
The names themselves were redacted, but if you were smart, like throwing in the local police HQ, you could find exactly what they had registered to them. Unfortunately, if you had manufactured your own receiver, your name was in that DVD that was handed out.
Hmm. Well, so but here's how useless the data is. Take, for example, if we ran this address today. Currently, there are more guns under this roof than the local Canadian Tire. However,
the local than the Canadian military.
So,
yeah. All right. So, main topic this week is something we've touched on a few times on the show, but never really gone into at length. So we thought, what better way than to get too many people's opinion?
Too many people. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about how much caliber do you really need? And we're going to go specific to hunting animals, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. We're in Canada. That's all we're allowed to do.
We're not going to hunt people. We're not talking about that. We're going to talk about...
You mean
although that is
hunting those non-existent moose you told me we'd see so many of on the way up here?
We saw one.
I saw one.
Oh, there we go.
Edith loves you all.
Just drive it a couple times tonight after dark.
I'm just going to say, I know a field. So, yeah, so caliber.
Yeah.
How much caliber is enough?
Well, there's it's interesting because people like myself and Matt tend to go on the low end of the scale, say shot placement is much more important than how big the bullet is. Then there's the people who are running around the province using 300 Win Mag on deer.
Or 7 mil, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Matthew says you can shoot a deer with a 223.
Sure.
And I believe you can. I personally wouldn't. My take on it is, although the job can be done with smaller caliber firearms, you don't have as much forgiveness. Perfect conditions need to apply. Perfect shot placement. Perfect shot placement depends on whether you're hanging off a tree or whether you're on a bench or whether you're shooting out the window of a truck. No, we can't do that, can we?
Not legally, no.
Edit that last
part. Yeah, I might edit it.
Across the hood.
Across the hood. Yeah.
As long as you're not touching the gun or the truck.
So although you can bag game with smaller calibers, a larger caliber will offer some forgiveness if your placement isn't exactly where you thought it was going to be. Let's say you misjudged the distance, and depending on where you've got your rifle.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, if you're shooting a 300 Win Mag, you've got a lot flatter trajectory than you do shooting a 30-30.
You're not so concerned about your drops. That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, you can shoot out 200, 300, 400 yards and not really have to worry about, oh, where exactly is it going to hit? Where with a 30-30, you do got to know that. But that being said, the 30-30 out to 200-300 yards still has enough terminal ballistics, terminal energy, to drop that animal.
Mm, now see, I've not shot an animal with 30-30. I know Owen has.
Tell us about your 30-30 shooting.
I was raised that you don't shoot at anything with a 30-30 outside of 100. 100-meter gun. That's all the old fellas would say.
I think it's probably, I mean, my gun is open, so open sights. So I'm not going to be shooting at the longer ranges just because even my aim with, is accurate. But if it was scoped, I'd be comfortable with it up to 200.
Yeah, then, and even, well, I was going to say the Lever Evolution ammunition was kind of advertised, scope your 30-30 and you're good to 200 now.
Yeah.
Where you would go with the regular 170, 150 grain round nose out to that distance.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I do shoot that ammunition you're talking about, but...
I mean, I've seen 150-pound doe get whacked with a 300 Win Mag. It was cheap ammo, Remington Corlock, 150 grain, but it was a 300 Win Mag, 88 yards, and it knocked her clean off her feet. She landed on her back. She got up. She ran 15 yards before she piled up. Now, what would a 223 do?
They would just run.
Wouldn't a 223 wouldn't take her off her feet?
No, probably not.
Sure, but you need to take your animal off its feet to kill it.
I'm lazy and I don't feel like tracking. So, like McIntyre said, he's seen moose taken with 308s that have gone 100 and 200 yards. He's seen moose step out on the road, get whacked with a 300, and drop in their tracks.
But again, I've heard
stories.
You can't compare one hunting story with one hunting story.
That's
because
true.
Shot placement with a 300 Win Mag is going to do it, no matter what the other stories are. You know, if you have correct shot placement with the caliber.
Because I've heard stories of moose getting hit with 308s and dropping.
Yeah.
So those stories are out there too. You can't compare one story with another story because who knows exactly where the bullet hit. There are too many variables.
Well, let's assume it's a good double lung shot. I think the 300 is still going to dispatch it a lot faster than 308. You just got more energy.
Absolutely. If you got more energy, but how dead does it need to be? Like, are you going to tell someone not to go hunting because all they have is a 308?
No.
That's where we want to make sure that we're not discouraging people from hunting because all they have is a 30-30. Owen uses it, and he's just fine with it.
Just because you don't have a Camaro doesn't mean you're not allowed to drive.
Right.
You know, you're still going to get the job done. So let's go around the table. I know we've got some hunters in here. You've hunted, and she has 63 guns. Can I say that, Tracy?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. She cuts up her own deer and
that's
everything.
That's cool.
So
I've never taken a deer to the butcher.
There you go.
Just do it myself. All right.
So, yeah, my man card needs to be turned in. Jazz, you do any hunting?
Nope.
No, Edith?
Nope.
No, John?
Nope.
10X, no?
Yeah.
So we do have some liberals here.
A couple.
Thomas, Stacy?
Nope.
No? Okay. All right, so ladies first, what's your opinion?
Well, for moose, I think this is the thing. It depends. You know, if you've got some options and you've got some choices to make, then make them. I've got 63 choices, it's not difficult.
So are you going to default and always go bigger?
I automatically take my 300 Win Mag, automatically. Okay. Although I did, before I got it, I did take my 308 and just use a heavier grain, right?
Right.
But my deer rifle, you know, I use my 243, my 270, the 308, 30-30,
so you don't feel
really
the need to just shoot everything with the 300. You'll actually go to smaller caliber for smaller
animals? Yeah, I've never taken the 300 out for anything but moose.
Okay.
Actually.
Interesting. Now,
but
would you...
I like my 270 is by far my favorite, though, for, you know...
That's a great caliber. I love 270.
It's snappy.
Oh, yeah,
you can shoot mine tomorrow if you want. I brought it.
Oh, nice. You brought it.
I did.
Line.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, the line starts behind me, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, what about a moose? Would you take your 270 for a moose? Would you feel comfortable, or would you say, no, I'm going to go buy a 300 if I didn't already have four?
Yeah, if you didn't already have four.
I didn't already have 23 other bigger ones. No, I guess I would. I'd just use
it. Yeah, you wouldn't feel ill on your gun? No.
No, because I'm a really good shot. I have a good scope on it. And
270 is a
30-06
case neck down to 27 caliber. I can't see that not having enough energy.
Yeah.
It's going way faster than a heavier bullet. It's going to have the same energy. It just doesn't have the same weight behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's very fast.
So. Very fast, very flat,
yeah. Yeah, I would. I mean, I have some options, so, you know, I try and...
So you default to bigger if you have it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sticks?
I'm actually wide open caliber-wise. I think shot placement is everything. I've hunted... never hunted moose. I haven't even seen a moose. I've hunted plenty of deer. My thing with deer is most of my hunting has involved the woods in Michigan, where you don't get beyond, you know, 150, 200 yard shot, and that's crazy to see that. And, you know,
like
the only people that get that type of shot there are poaching at night with the spotlight and a drive by. But I've never done that, and I'm serious about that. With the 223, what I don't trust with the smaller calibers, not only is I don't care what kind of shot you are. If you're shooting in woods, you don't always see that little twig that can easily deflect the smaller calibers. You know, with the larger calibers, you've got a little more oomph that's going to push past anything. And most of my shots have always been below 100 yard shots. I can only think of one time that I shot a deer that I shot it beyond 100 yards. So 223, of course, in Michigan is not legal to shoot a deer with anyway.
Oh, really? You guys have caliber restrictions
statewide. We have caliber restrictions.
Yes. Here in New Brunswick, anything centerfire is approved for deer and moose and bear.
Oh, wow. But I have a couple caliber-wise. I also think that the bigger the hole, the better you can do it. I've only lost one deer in my life, and I believe that it was shooting a smaller caliber and hitting a twig, and I don't remember exactly what I was... I think, but I have helped track a lot of deer, and I have seen perfect shots with smaller calibers that just get sealed up, and the deer can go way too far. Very good timing.
That was good timing. All three at the same time.
But I believe the bigger the better. Situationally, of course, the caliber can make a big difference. I've never shot the big calibers for deer. I mean, it's always been 30-06 for me, 30-06.
Right.
It's a great woods gun, other than I've shot a lot with muzzle loader. 50 cal works really good.
Being that we're in New Brunswick, and we touched upon, there are no long shots in New Brunswick. We're not taking anything at 500. It doesn't happen.
No.
I just went 30-06. I went 30-06 because it will take anything that we have in New Brunswick, from whitetail to moose to bear. And it's very, very common. It's no problem for me to reload for it. It's no problem for me to find ammo for it. Ammo is $30 a box, or 300 Win Mag's $80 a box.
Yeah.
Just don't need it.
Yeah, you're not shooting out, like you said, out past 200-300 yards, which is sense. So yeah, I think that was a good choice. 30-06 is a great all-around caliber for just about anything in North America, save maybe grizzlies. And it would still work on grizzlies. It's just that I would want something that shot 30-06 rapidly, just in case they started running at me.
Yeah, like Garand.
Yeah, Garand would be cool.
And dump a clip into a grizzly.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
Any closing thoughts from anybody?
Thomas,
anybody
we didn't hear from Thomas. Anything?
I'm kind of partial to 270. I'm like Tracy. I don't really hunt moose or bear. Deer, if I find the thing I like about the 270, it's great for deer. You can use it for coyote, or you can use it for groundhog.
Well, we can't.
It's a mild report. You can put a newer shooter on a 270, and it's not going to keep the crap out of it.
Right.
You put a 30-06 in somebody's hand, it thumps.
Yeah.
But I'm just comfortable with the 270. That's the one that I started with when I was a kid. I mean, that's what I stuck to.
Yeah. No, it's a great caliber. I really like it. So, good choice. Excellent. Any listeners have any thoughts on that? Send us an email. Speaking of emails, that's a segue. You guys are terrible at this game.
What do you want them to do?
Owen's supposed to say.
Well, you won't shut up long enough for me to say it.
Owen wants
to
record
emails.
And show you.
That's a segue.
Like, I paused for a good 5 seconds.
Yeah,
I'll hang up on you.
You
I can't.
Can. Jewel, does he do everything too fast?
Oh.
Matt, why don't you take the first email?
Holy, look how red his ears are.
Where's his knife?
Is that anger?
I'm just going to hold that for you. Don't break my thumb, I need it.
All right, this first email comes to us from Thomas Donnelly.
He let him read his own freaking email. He said, where'd he go?
He left.
Tom!
He knew he shouldn't be here if he read his own email.
Oh, here he comes.
He can't, he's coming back.
He planned this quite perfectly.
So the first email is from Thomas Donnelly. Do you want to
read it?
No, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
I just want to sneak it out for a cigarette.
He writes, gentlemen, once again, thank you for your very fine show. Slamfire is my favorite podcast, and I really look forward to my weekly dose of Owen, Matthew, and Trevor.
You know you do your own show now, right?
Yeah.
And we're still the favorite.
Woo! Oh, there goes the door.
Doorbell again. I'm not editing that out.
God, I hope it's
all right. He continues on.
I'm sending you.
Shh. He continues on. I'm writing in response to Steve's letter last week about the issues he was having with his Lakefield 64B, which is, in fact, the same gun as Savage, Winchester, Cooey, and Cooey 64. Savage purchased Lakefield many years ago, and the design has not changed since. First of all, the magazines are crap and tend to wear out prematurely. There's a bit of a feed ramp on the lip of the mag. Polishing out any burrs or machining marks on the mag ramp may improve feeding. Because of the possible age of his gun, I would check the chamber mouth for any dry fire dings that may hang up around once his rifle gets sturdy at the 100 round count that he mentioned. Also, I would check the extractor for any possible damage or possible wear that may be causing extraction issues. The extractor of my old Winchester Cooey 64 tended to wear out rather quickly. Lastly, the recoil spring. It's probably way past its service life by now, and it may need to be replaced. Savage Arms is located in Lakefield, Ontario, and replacement parts are readily available for his Lakefield 64. If none of my suggestions work, throw the gun in the garbage and buy a Ruger 10/22. Just saying. And that came to us from Thomas Donnelly from New Shooter Canada.
Thank you.
So, that good suggestions. I like the one about the dry fire dings, because that was one I hadn't thought of. And definitely change out any parts that can be changed out, change them out. Parts wear out on guns, especially old guns. They're designed to. They got to. They're parts. So, yeah, try that and get back to us. Let us know how it works.
All right, this next one comes from Manny in BC. He says, hey guys, love the show. I discovered you guys right around the time I got my PAL in 2013 and have been listening ever since. Just wanted to say I appreciate all the work you guys put in, and even if I don't always agree, and he puts in brackets, I happen to like 1911s, I still always get a chuckle. Keep up the good work, and Matt, shoot some centerfire once in a while.
Thanks, cheers. Manny. I've been shooting that Uzi. It's 9mm, and it's not even an Uzi.
Well,
I shoot some centerfire every now and then.
Yeah, it shoots great.
I just like rimfire. It's my favorite.
Tell us what you like about it. I don't understand.
It's quiet, so I can shoot it almost anywhere I want. It doesn't have a lot of recoil, so I don't develop any footage. It's very accurate. It's inherently accurate. It's very inexpensive to operate. There are a plethora of different types of guns that you can shoot with it. There's no magazine restrictions. Do I need to keep going?
No.
Okay, then.
Speaking of rimfire,
are you still 14?
After you left yesterday, Sticks, I'm talking to Sticks here, people who are listening, I realized I forgot to take you upstairs and show you my .22 stash.
Oh, yeah.
My stacks and stacks of boxes.
I also have... Yeah.
We did stop at Canadian Tire earlier today to make a quick run over there for a few things.
Did they have any rimfire stuff?
They had 22 all over the place. They had three different kinds, two different kinds of bulk, and they had a Gila and a small box.
What kind of bulk did they have?
Winchester. The Winchester.
In 555 box?
No, in the wooden box.
Yeah, wooden crate. Probably the same ammo.
I'm going to go buy some of that. Try it out. What was the price?
A little pricey. 56.
Because it's in a wooden box.
56 bucks for how many rounds?
I think it's 500.
Oh, that's expensive. No, I'm not paying 10 cents a round for rimfire.
But they had other bulk, and I can't remember what the price was on it. But they did have two different kinds of bulk, and then two different kinds of the Aguila in the 50 round box.
Cool. Very nice.
Trevor, I saved this one for you, the long one here. Make sure you read the whole URL.
From Ralph. Got the motorhome if you guys have the Tannerite. Oh my. So there's a link to a video of somebody
blowing up a motorhome
with Tannerite.
Put that in the show notes.
Okay, so wait a second. Ralph is literally going to donate a motorhome if we provide the Tannerite? And by me, I mean Press Check Ventures.
I'm in. That's good.
Ralph, if you could drive thing to New Brunswick,
we'll blow it up.
We will blow it up for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not at the restitution. Not at the range.
No.
We would never do anything like that.
No. Oh my God. That's later. All right. So this last email then. Thank you, Ralph. Is that me?
Or
is
it you? This is you.
Oh, it's my turn. I joined the CSSA a few months ago and recently received Volume 3, Issue 3 of Caliber magazine. When I signed up as a CSSA member, I didn't think about the magazine. This is my first gun magazine, and I was quite excited, even though I wasn't expecting much. Well, after reading through much of it, I'm very happy with it, and I'm just excited for the next one. As for the piece of paper you guys were talking about last week that came with my license, but no one knows why they need it, Can you explain why we require it and what to do if you don't know what happened to it? Do I call the Canadian Firearms Program and ask for another one?
Yes.
So that comes to us from Justin. And I would encourage every PAL owner to give them a call and ask for another copy of that piece of paper. Just to show them how absurd that stupid rule is. So anyway,
and ask for an updated one with their ADT.
Right, ask for an update. Yeah, your ADT rolled into that. But yeah, no, I love Caliber magazine. So I was really happy when CSSA started sending those out with the memberships. NFA has their magazine and it's really good too. Yeah, it's just nice to get gun mags. You don't get to see those very often, especially in Canada.
And especially Canadian content, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all Canadian. Caliber's is all Canadian. NFA Firearms Journal is all Canadian.
Yep.
I have to give kudos to Dan Fritter, the editor of Caliber magazine. He has done an incredible job. He does have a background in magazine publishing in motorsports, but to move from motorsports into firearms with very little exposure for firearms itself, literally just because he started shooting ski.
Right.
Yeah, awesome.
Cool. Excellent. Well, if you anybody would like to send us email, you can send it to slamfireradio@gmail.com. And we will probably read it on the show, especially if it's funny or makes fun of Trevor.
You didn't get my email I sent?
You sent an email?
From the border?
No.
It's like, guys, I need somebody's phone number. I'm sitting at the border board and I have no one's phone number.
I got the one that said the New Brunswick CFO screwed me over. You want to tell that story? Tell us how you got your guns in here, Sticks. We got a second. So Sticks came from Arkansas. And he brought guns, non-restricteds and restricteds. And tell us about your experience, how you started the ball rolling and what happened.
I've been actually in contact with the New Brunswick
CFO. Can I stop for a second? He's got a binder. He's got a binder.
I pulled a trick
full of documents.
Kelly and Kevin's bag of tricks, and I put everything in order, paperwork, even every single email that I've had back and forth with the New Brunswick CFO's office. A few weeks ago, I called them. They did not answer all morning long till about 2 in the afternoon. I told the lady, this is my worry, because they later told me that I cannot get my ATT until I get to the border. The border guard witnesses me signing this piece of paper, and then we will fax a copy of that signed piece of paper, and then they will fax me my ATT. So I told the lady, ma'am, I am very worried that you're not going to be there when I come to the border. And she said, no, this never happens. Well, guess what? It never happens other than when we get to the border. We sat at the border about 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Finally, we left our guns with the nice border agents. And I don't want any of this blame to fall on the border agents. 99% of them were very nice, other than one guy that had a little bit of weird attitude. But my fault, his fault, who's to blame?
They're still looking for him.
Yeah. So we took a little time, went and visited Owen. And from Owen's house, I called back up there, and the paperwork had actually come through. And they needed more information. They needed stuff that could have been worked out a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
You provided an itinerary.
Oh,
weeks
man.
Ago. All of a sudden, on this day, they need, where's Kelly live? And where's the border crossing you're going home in?
But we still got the ATT faster than Thomas Donnelly.
That's a good point. Yes, you did.
But yeah, I do want to give a special shout out to the border guards, because they were very nice to us, very accommodating. They did what they could do for us, and he was angry about the situation. And although the interactions I've had with the New Brunswick CFO's office, they were very kind when we talked on the phone, but that's just messed up.
That is messed up. I called. I'm sure the next time they have to renew something or give me an ATT, they're going to remember. Oh, this guy. Yeah. No, I gave him holy old heck and ended with, we expect better service from the New Brunswick CFO's office, because generally we do. And I really thought you coming to New Brunswick was going to be straightforward and seamless, but...
Well, in the words of the border crossing guard, he said, you have all your ducks in a row. He said, but they freaking don't.
And you know what? I think it's a form of gun control. I think it's an easy way to just slow down the process. Yeah.
All right. Filthy really likes the ACR.
He's making out with Kevin's ACR. That's. Put your helmet on if you're going to do that.
That looks
like... You don't know where that gun has been.
That looks like a clone trooper weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So no iTunes review this week, or we don't know, we're not going to check.
That's it. Yeah.
We
don't know.
Shout
outs. To Rick and Jess. They couldn't make it to the charity shoot. They've come the last three in a row, I believe. And they were at the Ontario one. They came last year. They came to Tommy's
shoot.
Came here
twice last year.
Yeah, so they couldn't make it, but they sent their entrance fee anyway. They sent $50 to donate to the charity show. Rick and Jess, you guys are class act, so thank you very much.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week for the Tommy course. Also, that's how you say it. Yeah.
To Phil Hoffman, who sent us some really cool little items.
Yeah.
And you gave somebody else the credit, so I'm...
I gave the wrong person the credit, and so Phil...
Phil's the one who gave me the brass, right? Or was that...
That's Tom.
Tom, yeah.
Tom gave you the brass.
Phil gave us SFR, Slamfire Radio.
Right.
Glock slide...
backplates.
Backplates. Yeah. So, very, very cool. I'm looking to get mine, but I have nobody's given it to me yet.
You can't use the letters SFR. We've got that copyrighted, so don't be selling those. Or not without giving us our cut. There's a story behind it.
Huh?
Chris Anderson?
Oh, yeah, big, huge shout out.
Never heard of her.
Chris Anderson sent the trophies for the charity shoot. So.
And unilaterally came up with rules, which we have no intention of following. So.
We'll probably follow them.
No, I'm leaving all the trophies. That's my decision.
I guess if he wants to...
I'm going to Sheldon Clare it.
We better wrap this up before we derail completely.
Don't do that.
Yes. So, finally, check out the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcast.com. Join any or all of our National Firearms Associations. Check us out at Gun Owners of Canada. Like us on Facebook. And that's it. Have fun. Hug your guns. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You I'm going to bleep that. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
There you go.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.